this morning, as we remember the Lord's benefits to us and thanking Him for all that He has done for us and bestowed upon us, I thought we would look briefly at a familiar text of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5b through 7. You can find that if you want to use the pew Bibles in front of you on page 1250. So I'll begin by reading Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and then through verse 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, ends our reading of God's Word this morning. Let us once again bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at this, these small verses this morning, may you, Father, be at work within our hearts. May we, Father, with thanksgiving, come before you, and may you, Lord, bestow upon us all the peace that defies all comprehension, regardless of the anxieties and the turmoils that we may be facing in our lives. We do pray, Father, that you would now bless my mind and mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this morning. And in Jesus' holy name, we ask this. Amen. I'm sure you have all had the experience in some way or some form or at some point in your life of graciously holding the door open for somebody as they're going into a store or maybe coming out of a store, and they just walk by. They don't even look at you. They just walk right by. And if you're like me, you want to shout out to them, thank you, or you're welcome. You know, I held the door open for you. And it does annoy us when things like this happen. It seems disrespectful. It doesn't seem courteous. It seems that they're lacking just a basic kindness that one should have for another. It makes you wonder sometimes how they were raised. Most people were raised to say thank you, to give that little nod, or at least acknowledge the person that's holding the door. Most of us in our families had this expectation growing up and were taught by our parents to behave in such a way. God has expectations of us as His children, an expectation of a thankful attitude, a thankful heart. And what we're going to be looking at in these verses this morning is the theme of a thankful heart in prayer leads to a peaceful heart in life. A thankful heart in prayer leads to a peaceful heart in life. And we'll be doing it in three brief points. Be anxious for nothing, the Lord is near. Pray with thanksgiving to God, and God's peace will guard you in Christ Jesus. So first, be anxious for nothing, the Lord is near. We see this in the end of verse 5, in the beginning of verse 6, where Paul writes, the Lord is at hand, do not be anxious about anything. This reminds me of Christ teaching his disciples in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 29. There, Jesus, as you may recall, encourages his disciples not to worry. Not to be worried about what they will eat, not to worry about what they would wear. And he gives some examples about how the flowers of the field are dressed more beautifully than Solomon ever was. The birds of the air have their food and are taken care of. And he ends with that wonderful truth, have how much more value are you than the birds? And so, likewise, Paul, in the same way, is encouraging the people of God not to be anxious for anything. And the reason why is found in verse 5, that the Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. This is the reason, brothers and sisters, that We shouldn't be anxious for anything. The Lord is near. And there are two ways that we can take that phrase. Some people look at it as referring to the second coming of our Lord and Savior. And that truly is a good way to take it. And that truth and that fact can be a great comfort to us, knowing that the Lord our God is near. His coming is truly at any moment, at any time. That thought can bring great encouragement and comfort to us when we are anxious or worrying. But it can also simply be that He is near. He is close to us. And this is also a good way to take that phrase. Simply the fact that He is close to us. He is near. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the God, the Holy Spirit, indwells His people. How much closer can God be to us? And that He actually indwells us through the Holy Spirit. So our God is always near. His coming is imminent. His return is imminent. But also, He is always with us. As He said in Matthew 28, verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." However, even though God is near, and this is a wonderful truth that can calm our anxieties, our God is not ignorant that anxieties will persist. He knows full well that despite this wonderful truth that He is close at hand and He is near to us, we will have anxieties and worries and concerns in our life. And so He gives us instruction of how to combat those anxieties, how to combat those concerns. And the way that we are to combat it is in the second point. We are to pray with thanksgiving to God. We are to pray with thanksgiving to God. He writes in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We are commanded here to pray with thanksgiving. But what does praying with thanksgiving look like? How do we pray with thanksgiving? What does that look like in our lives, or how do we put it into practice? Well, first of all, I can tell you what praying with thanksgiving is not. Praying with thanksgiving is not that we put on a fake smile regardless of the situation. And we just pass through this life smiling no matter what is facing us. That is not living with thanksgiving. That's not necessarily shows that we're praying with thanksgiving. It's not putting on a fake smile to hide what is going on. And it doesn't mean that if we can't smile that we're not thankful. There are truly times in our life where we are deeply in sorrow and we can't smile, but it doesn't mean that we cannot be thankful. And you may have been wondering what or why we sang Psalm 42, Selection B, on a day when we're to be thankful and express our thanksgiving to God. It's a psalm that was slow, a psalm that repeatedly asks the question, "Why are you so bowed down, my soul?" Well, the reason why we sang that psalm was to look at how the psalmist, even in the midst of sorrow and deep anxiety that he is experiencing, yet he praises God, he rests in God. He finds his hope in God, even though he acknowledges and has a complete understanding that God is the one who has brought that distress into his life. Yet his response is to return to God. "I will praise him still." And we see an example of the psalmist, although he is under great distress and great sorrow, his soul is bowed down, he is yet able to be thankful to God. And he is still able to, with thanksgiving, pray to God in his time of distress and sorrow. He remembers in that psalm God's deliverance, his salvation, the hope that he has. The attitude of thankfulness there in the psalmist is a thankfulness for the redemption that he has in God, despite his anxieties. One way to illustrate this is the Lord and Savior himself. No doubt, the night he was betrayed, had great anxiety. As the gospel writers write, he sweat great drops of blood. He pleaded with his Father that if it be possible, that the cup he was about to drink would be taken from him. But we can also know for sure that It was with a thankful heart to his Father that he was giving such a prayer. It was with a thankful heart to his Father that he was relying upon him in all that he was doing and about to do and about to accomplish. And so he could face what was about to come in the full confidence of his Father. God does not call us to ignore our distress, brothers and sisters. He doesn't call us in these verses to put on a smile for the world if we're facing hardships or anxiety or sorrow. What he's doing is imploring us, of, regardless of the situation, to remember his redemption that he has accomplished for us. And so pray to him with a thankful heart, regardless of the situation we may be facing. And these verses end in verse 7 with a wonderful promise. And as we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts, despite whatever circumstance we may be in, the promise is in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." One of the phrases that may cause to ask the question of what does a peace that surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, what does that mean? What does it look like? Well, again, Jesus is our example. The same example that I just mentioned, an illustration of Jesus the night when he was betrayed. He no doubt was able to, once he finished praying to his Father, once his Father had answered his prayer, Jesus rose from that humble position and bowing before his Father, and he went and met his betrayer. He went and met those who had come to bring him into prison, to bind him, to beat him, and to crucify him. He went boldly to a cross for us. Another biblical example of this peace which surpasses all understanding would be the prophet Daniel. And the very familiar story of Daniel in the lion's den. The king gave an edict that no one would pray for a certain period of time to anyone but him. But yet Daniel was seen praying to the God of heaven, and so he was thrown into the lion's den. No doubt a situation of great anxiety for Daniel, and yet he faced that possibility and continued to seek the Lord. But all of us, be very rare for any of us here, especially in this country, to face situations like this of when being executed in some fashion, either for our faith in God. So what are some, you know, everyday examples of what this can, how this can work out, a peace that defies comprehension or understanding? Well, on the other end of being executed would be a personal example of mine. If you recall a couple of years ago, and when I gave my testimony when I was candidating here, or at my ordination exams when I answered a few questions from presbytery, one of the things I recalled in my testimony is that before I heeded God's call to the ministry, I was a horrible student. I had horrible study habits. I was had been expelled from the University of Kansas twice because I couldn't meet the standard. And so when I finally heeded the call of God to pursue the ministry, I was terrified of seminary. I knew I was a horrible student. How would I ever be able to get through seminary? Well, for the first time in my life, I felt that peace that defies all comprehension, because even though I was terrified of what I was going to go through and what I could endure, I knew for certain that that was what I was supposed to do. I didn't question it. It was complete. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. And regardless of what lay ahead, I knew that God would be with me and that I was following what he wanted me to do. And so I had that peace that defies all comprehension in a seemingly ordinary circumstance in life. And the reason why I want to bring that out is this peace doesn't have to come simply when to those that are facing some type of physical torture for their faith in Christ. I would argue that the anxieties that we can face in life are just as dangerous and no less threatening than facing death itself. And God promises, as we turn to Him in a thankful heart, that regardless of the situation, He may not remove the situation, He may not remove what is causing us grief and trouble, but He promises to give us an unshakable peace in the face of that difficulty. But as these verses end in Christ Jesus, it reminds us that the only way to experience this peace, the only way to have this peace, is in being in Jesus Christ Himself, by faith in Him alone. It is only by being in Christ that we can have the peace which guards our hearts and our minds. The world may, and those who do not acknowledge Christ may, have some pale shadow of peace, but they cannot have the peace of God, which defies all comprehension and understanding. And this is how it also ties into Psalm 42. As we face various anxious times in our life, various circumstances, we may be facing it here and now, in our own day and age, in various the economic turmoil of our nation, various wars that are going on. Yet we can have peace even in these anxious times, as we remember with thankfulness the salvation that we have in Christ. No matter what is causing us to be anxious or have anxiety, we can have this peace and assurance, knowing that above all that we are God's in Christ and that He is near. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And so, brothers and sisters, remember that the Lord is near. He is both coming and He is at hand. And may this understanding, this salvation, remembering the salvation that we have in Christ, stir within us a great thankfulness for God and all that He has given for us, especially the salvation that we have in Christ. And as we turn to Him in prayer, when times of trouble come, when times of anxiety plague us, may we draw back and fall back on the simple truth that we are God's people and that He is near to us. We are His sheep. We are His children. And with thankfulness, may this, brothers and sisters, as we pray with a thankful heart, may this lead to a peaceful heart to us in life. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You have given to us. But above all, Father, we thank You for the salvation that we have in Christ. We thank You for Your promises to continually be near to us and to work within us, to guide and direct us. And Lord, as various times of anxiety and distress come into our life, may we remember that You are near to us. And in these times, may we draw back and lean upon the wonderful truth that we are Yours. And may we, Father, with thankfulness in our hearts for the salvation that we have in Christ, pray to You to deliver us and to give us peace. And may You, Father, in turn, give us the peace that defies all comprehension and understanding, the peace of God which guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.